Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 113th episode of the Manor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Roger Bodie, joined as always with my best friend, another co-host, Michael Hamilton. Michael, it's the time, everybody's favorite episode that we make, the time when we're 100% objectively correct. We've never once misplaced a hero. I think at this time, we are the most confident out of any times we have ever established any tier lists.
This is the opposite of what you said, like 2 minutes before I press record button. But I'm glad you're appearing confident for the world, because I have very little confidence on this tier list. A lot of things have happened, and I have not played a lot of games since all the things happened. I played some limited. I played a lot of limited. Rosetta Limited, sweet. I like Rosetta Limited a lot. I have not played a lot of constructed.
I have, but I'm starting to buy into the fact that maybe Talishar testing is not the best, because I have like a 90% win rate on Talishar, and then I go against test against other good players that aren't on Talishar, and then I have not a 90% win rate anymore, and it makes me say it.
Well, you're still testing on Talishar, right? You're just testing.
Random Talishar opponents.
Yeah.
So I probably did not break the format, as my early Talishar testing led me to believe, which was unlucky.
Very unlucky.
But we're starting at the top this time.
Yeah, starting at the top. Gonna probably,
you know who else starts at the top?
Who starts at the top?
We do, because this episode's sponsored by you and I and our Patreon. I'm bringing it back for this episode because we're just sponsored by you and I and our Patreon now. So go to www.patreon.com/MNRcast. The link's probably somewhere down there below. It's somewhere in the description. And it's also probably on our Twitter, our podcast Twitter account. Yeah. And if you're not subscribed to the RSS feed, I'm pointing to the for the audio listeners, though you can't see where the RSS feed probably is. And then on YouTube, you should hit the like and comment and subscribe buttons, respectively.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do those things for the algorithm, because we make content that is often relevant to competitive Flesh and Blood players, but not always.
But it would help us be at the top.
That is true. That is true. It will help us rise through the ranks. Mm-hmm.
Much like Dash. I.O. Dashio.
Yeah.
The number one hero on the top of my S tier.
Number one hero on top of the format in 3 weeks when her deck comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess we should clarify that. But this tier list includes Dash's deck that comes out in like 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. And it also is, that's all that. Nothing's being subtracted from the format yet.
No, you can. Lists. I thought about not including Dash IE, but like technically she's got to earn points before she goes anywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, deal's very, very good. The new item, Corabellum Processor, is a very, very powerful card. They banned the Tomes. Tome of Fyandal, you spend a card, a resource, and an action point to draw 2 cards. This item, if it's in play, you just spend an action point, you draw a card. A lot of the time you can hit it for free off the top. You can Spark of Genius for it. And you know what is really good at creating action points?
Items that you can crank?
Yeah, those, and also High Octane, which is a card that is a 3 of in Dash.io. And she's really good at finding the cards she wants because, well, she draws a lot of cards. She has Crown of Providence. If it's on top, she can draw it. She can look at the top card of her deck. If she boosts twice and there is a High Octane on top, maybe you arsenal your last boost card and draw the High Octane next turn instead of boosting it away, because you get all these looks at the top card of your deck. And if you already have a Corabellum Processor and you're in play, then you can use that to draw the High Octane, then sack your handy dandy boots to an action point and not use your whole turn up.
Yes.
Sometimes you plan to do that and then there's a crank item on top, so you just get to keep your boots too. It's great.
Yeah. The damage output on Dio, very high. Very, it does a lot of the damages, attacks very consistently, gets all the good items, still has the boom grenades out of nowhere, still has the Techlo cores making free resources, still has the Techlo pounders giving free powers, and still has all kinds of tricks and items that do all kinds of super powerful things while just getting a million free go again attacks.
Yeah. So I actually played my first games of this hero today before recording. I did my homework. I put her in S tier. I'm like, all right, I should play some games, make sure she really is very good. And I truly believe this will be the best hero going into the Pro Tour.
Yeah. And you either need to know this hero really well or have a very good plan into this hero for Pro Tour or Worlds.
Yep. You got any other S tiers?
I have one. And it shares a very similar theming to they banned all the tomes, but then gave this hero 9 cards that draw 2 cards. And it's the hero that also won the Battle Harden in Sydney yesterday, 2 days ago. It's Kano. Kano's very, very good. Draws a lot of cards, does a lot of damage, super consistent. Got all kinds of new trickies in the new set as well. You get so many majestic blue zaps that do all kinds of surge effects that are cool. And you still have Aether Wildfire to do Aether Wildfire things. So seems like a S tier hero to me.
Yeah, I think Kano is really, really strong and has a lot of very good matchups. But I do think that his matchup into Dio is quite bad. And there's not really anything you can do to fix that. Dio's a hero that can play a lot of blues, has pretty easy access to Arcane Barrier 3. And has a lot of breakpoints with boom grenades that Kano is not very good at covering up. So he will die quite fast against Dio. And because of that, I actually have him down towards the middle of A tier. But I do agree, he is very good against a lot of heroes.
Yeah, I basically just, I have view these two heroes as like the litmus test by which all other heroes in the format must be judged. And I guess if we want to, if you wanted to put like Dio in like S plus tier and then like Kano in S tier and then everybody else. I think that's pretty much where I'm at in the format overall at the moment. But yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So who's the top of your A tier then?
So the top of my A tier is the other KO deck. It is KO, the Brutes, one armed and dangerous buddy. He has traditionally been very reasonable into Dio. I played quite a lot of that matchup before Dio got our upgrades, and I felt like it was pretty heavily KO favored. You have a very good armor suite to block out boom grenades. You put her on a very fast clock. You have a lot of disruption with Command and Conquer and Send Packing. And you also just kill her really fast, which is important. So I think KO is reasonable into Dio. I don't think he will be a big favorite, but he should be fine. You also get access to Smashing Performance to blow up some of her items. I think that he has the tools to beat Dio. And I also thought he was quite good into Kano. I think that Kano's struggled quite a bit into KOs with high blue counts because, again, easy access to Arcane Barrier 3 with the headpiece that gives AB2. So I think because of that, KO has reasonable matchup into Dio, good matchup into Kano, and he's looking poised for a comeback.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have KO in the middle of A tier. He's of my 5 heroes in A tier, he is smack dab in the middle, 2 above him, 2 below him in the middle of A tier.
Oh, my A tier is a lot bigger than yours.
Yeah. Top of my A tier is Dash IE. Just because we said all the good things about Dio and Dash, the old Dash still gets all those good things, still gets the cool new draw card thing if they want it and can even play. I guess maybe I should have put this in its own tier. I mean, there's probably a broken Count Your Blessings fatigue pistol dash package, you know, because that card is so very broken. It invalidates all the other strategies that happen in Flesh and Blood, and that if you just play Count Your Blessings, you gain 80 million life and your opponent can't do anything about it, and you just get fatigued instantly as soon as they play Count Your Blessings, Michael.
Yeah, I think Count Your Blessings isn't like it's very overhyped. There's going to be times in the metagame where you can get away with playing Count Your Blessings, but it's not like going to be a meta-defining thing. It's going to be like a reaction to specific metas, I believe. And maybe in that way it can be meta-defining and specific things, but it's not like setting the format, I don't think.
Pitch a blue, put a counter on your Teclo Pounder, attack with your Teclo Pounder, pay 2 for your Count Your Blessings. You've won the game, Michael.
You're making a mistake here. The Teclo Pounder is the blue item.
Oh, Teclo Pistol. Oh,
yeah. Teclo Plasma Pistol.
Yeah.
I do have Dash as, or Dash IE as my next hero. I think she's in a very good spot. She has a lot of really good, really strong cards. I think that the new met cards aren't helping her a lot, but aggro dash traditionally very, very favorite into Kano. He does not want to see aggro dash. She did fine in the Phi meta, not Phi, the Zen meta, where Dash was able to win a decent number of events despite Zen being as pushed and broken as he was. Pulse Wave Harpoon is a very, very powerful card in race matches where your opponents are trying to keep full hands. And you also do have the threat of being this whole different deck when you're playing this very defensive Dash. And, well, I do think that deck is worse than the aggro slash hybrid version of Dash. It is real. And if you board wrong for Dash and you're ready to block a lot and fight off this boost Dash aggressive deck, and then they just do cast count your blessings, that is a problem. And that's something that Dash has uniquely, that she can be a hyper aggressive deck or a hyper defensive deck, and you won't know when you're sideboarding when you play against a Dash.
Right. 100%.
So
what's your next? Who you got
next? My next hero is Kano.
So. Kano, okay, sure, okay. We already talked about Kano. My next hero is Aurora.
Okay, that is not the Runeblade I have next, but tell me about Aurora.
So I think Aurora is just like the best adjacent deck to what Zen was, basically, where it's just going wide, hyper efficient, 0 for 4, 0 for 3, go again, lots of action points, but then also has cool combo, not the keyword combo, but like combos as in cards that you can put together to be more than the sum of their parts that combine in a very efficient manner, like her spec and Flicker Wisp to just deal a million arcane damage and get a million action points. So I was going to be really low on the Lightning Heroes at first on my tier list, because basically I was coming into it. If you watched the dev talk that came out like a week or two ago, they kept talking about like, oh man, Aurora was so good with Tomefine Doll. And so it was clear that that the Rosetta Heroes were balanced around a meta that had Tomefine Doll and a hero meta that had Tome of like Aetherwind and all these other draw effects. And I thought that meant just by the nature of them not having those draw effects that it would kind of knock them down a couple lower power levels because, well, those cards are good and drawing extra cards is good. And now that but it's been proven that Aurora still has quite a high damage ceiling. It can still do some pretty silly stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I really think Aurora is going to struggle a lot in the Dio. She is a deck that can play Warmonger's Diplomacy, but I don't think that helps when a deck is like as much more powerful than she is as Dio. I think, in my opinion, I think that she can have some pretty good turns, but like her ceiling isn't that high, and for a deck full of like no blocks and block twos, I feel like I want a little bit more than what Aurora has to offer. So I actually have her high in B tier, which is a decent step down.
Okay.
So my next hero is a different Runeblade. It's Viscerai. I think that Viscerai has gotten a ton of new tools in the set. They like kind of custom made the blue block 3 Maverick's Geist type of effect. That
card's not even good. It's not even the top 10 cards of the set, Michael.
It was like custom made for him. He got Malefic Incantation, which is it comes in all three colors. The red comes with 3 verse counters on it. When you play it, attack once per turn, you can remove, or you do remove a verse counter and create a rune chant. This card is broken with Mordred Tide and Viscerai's Hero Power in combination. It's a very, very strong interaction. And it also turns on the new common that he got, Rune Rager's Swarm, and makes that card very, very consistent as well. Viscerai has always just wanted attack or non-attack actions with Go Again as starters, and he doesn't really want to be playing like Nimblism and stuff because they're not Runeblade cards, but Malefic Incantation is a Runeblade card. It synergizes with all of the cards that want you to have multiple rune chants in play for your discounts. And I think that Viscerai just got a ton better with the new cards. And even though he lost Rosetta Thorn, I think the deck has strong legs, and that's why he's what I have 5th on the tier list.
Yeah, Spellbound Creepers are good. I would agree that they're pretty strong legs. I have him in high B tier, so it sounds like we're just flipped between Aurora and Viscerai, basically.
Yeah, and that makes sense because one of them is probably going to ultimately be better than the others. Like the other, they're both aggro decks. They're both not very disruptive. They're both kind of playing numbers. I gave the edge to Viscerai because one thing that has surprised me about Viscerai is if you look at a Viscerai deck, like significantly more than half the cards just block three now. And Aurora, that is not the case.
Yeah. And I gave the nod to Aurora because I felt like Aurora doesn't have as much as the issues of oops, all non-attack actions or oops, all attack actions. Like when those happen, I think she plays through the average or like the slightly below average hands are a bit higher in Aurora. And she obviously doesn't care as much about Warmonger's Diplomacy, where Warmonger's Diplomacy is still usually a knockout card against Viscerai's turns.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely quite good against Viscerai. And Dio being on top does mean that Viscerai will kind of take some splash damage from that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up, I have KO. Like I said, in the middle of my A tier, right below KO, I have Enigma.
Okay, talk to me about Enigma.
So I feel like there's going to be one other hero in my A tier, and then Enigma just kind of feels like a bully of the format where if you can't consistently present high pressure turns, she can just kind of take over the game, snowball, and do the illusionist thing where the game's just not close for the rest of the game from there. And that just seems like an intrinsically powerful thing to do. I guess looking at my two S tier heroes, she's comically bad into those two heroes, especially Kano. But I just think her sheer strength against so many of the other heroes in the format is why I have her as high as I do.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I don't actually think she's that bad into Kano. I think that at like the matchup kind of like goes in different directions as like the decks are built more to respect each other. And I think that her Kano matchup can be pretty good if you actually just build your deck trying to target Kano, but that costs a lot in other matchups where like if you're trying to attack with a lot of go-again attacks into Kano and not really relying on the auras as much, that hurts you a lot against some other decks. And it's just kind of like an awkward thing where there's not an obvious answer for her. I think that she is a very natural home for Warmonger's Diplomacy, where you want good blues, you have to play a million blues anyway. And Warmonger's Diplomacy is definitely a good blue in the current metagame. So I think that's all those reasons. I maybe should have put Enigma a little bit higher, but I actually just have her in the middle of my B tier. I think that I still think even with Warmonger's Diplomacy, she's behind against Dio. I think she is slightly behind against KO. Mm-hmm. I think she is behind against Dash IE, and I think she's behind against Kano. And that's just a lot of slightly behind against Kano, but probably behind. And that's a lot of bad matchups at the top of my tier list.
For sure.
And she has one more bad matchup in the next tier I'm going to talk about. Who's next on my tier list? And it's Riptide. I think that...
You have Riptide in A tier.
I have Riptide in A tier. Because I don't think Count Your Blessings is real. So all these heroes that we've talked about, they don't care about Count Your Blessings. They're just going to kill them. Riptide, he does care about Count Your Blessings. He does not want an opponent that's just going to sit there and gain a bunch of life. He will... not be great, but I think Riptide has the tools between all these new Majestics he keeps getting. He is, I think, very reasonable into Dio. I think he's favored into KO. I think he is pretty good into Dash. She has to do the pistol plan, and I don't think she is great in that if she is built for, like, if you're building boost and transitioning into the pistol plan, I don't think she is great into Riptide. And Kano matchup's kind of tough, but I think Riptide is... He just keeps getting better. They just keep printing good Majestics for him. And we'll notice that trend in some other heroes that used to be pretty bad on my list that I have bumped up quite a bit.
Yeah, I haven't topped him C tier.
Okay.
Like, he's not at the bottom of like D tier anymore like he used to be. But I think the amount of arcane damage in the format is overall a pretty big net negative for him because it's not just Count Your Blessings. He really doesn't want to face like these heroes that present split damage or high amounts of arcane damage are things that he really doesn't really want to deal with. I don't think he's still going to be playing a lot of blues overall. He's just not a blue heavy deck, so he just doesn't deal with arcane damage very well. And he's also not a deck that likes Warmonger's Diplomacy played against him either, because he wants to be playing his own non-attack actions. And so like he still has that awkward thing where he's balancing his traps, non-attack actions, and his arrows. So that just always is going to lead to some amount of clunk. I do agree that he does have a lot of good, you know, traps, non-attack actions, and arrows now. Basically the whole deck's mono Majestics at this point, it feels like. But I just think the format, I think I might have put him in B tier last time or also in C. But yeah, I think he's still kind of lagging behind a couple of the other heroes I have over Hiram.
Yeah, reasonable.
I do have a Ranger in my A tier, though, and it's Azalea, which, you know, at this point, I feel like, I guess it's not that bad. We kept putting Levia at the top of like A and S tiers for forever, and she just did nothing for the past two metas. So I learned a lesson, at least with Levia. She's not anywhere at the top anymore, but I still have Azalea. I feel like Azalea still could have what it takes to be the disruptive deck that she was meant to be. And, you know, Dio wants to be playing a million actions, doesn't particularly like being hit by red in the ledger. Kano is not an amazing matchup for Azalea, but still not bad. Kano not playing defense reaction, so she's going to be able to get the dominate damage to go through when she presents it. And yeah, I just think she still has a lot of tools to kind of be kind of like the dark horse A deck, I guess, still. Like, if like you told me like Azalea won Worlds at this point in time, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I have Azalea at top of B tier. I think that I do think she kind of struggles into Dio and the Mechanologist items that hose non-attack actions are quite good against Azalea and very annoying. I think she also takes a lot of splash damage from Warmonger's Diplomacy. She's traditionally not a deck that wants to play against Warmonger's Diplomacy decks. The new equipment does help with that, but the fact that having to play the new arms instead of Bullseye Bracers because of Warmonger's Diplomacy is a pretty real cost. Long Draw Half Club, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And the final nail in the coffin for Azalea for me was I had Bruce Brock at my house very recently. He was hanging out for my birthday and we played a few games of Viscerai versus Azalea and I was just beating him up. I was playing Viscerai, he was playing Azalea and we're just making rune chance hitting him. Just died. I don't know. So maybe I'm reading too much into that, but I am a lot lower on Azalea because of that. If Brody Spurlock's struggling with Azalea, he's the Azalea gamer that I have seen do the best with her and kind of like gave her a lot of life and won a calling with her last year or this year. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I couldn't put her too high.
That's fair. I was not privy to this testing knowledge before making my tier list, so I'm disadvantaged.
Yeah. I said I haven't played a lot of constructed games, but I have played a few. I've got some Viscerai games, some Dio games.
Okay. Anybody else left an A tier for you?
One last tier, an A tier for me. I've got new. I could be wrong about this. Everyone's been, or I shouldn't say everyone, but it seems like the community's been like lower on new recently, but she didn't get anything banned, and she was like really like competing with Zen really well. There was two or three news in the top eight of the last Pro Tour. And I think this hero doesn't intrinsically feel like she'll be worse against Dio than she was against Zen or like she has any issues. I think that she's still doing powerful disruptive things. And this is a hero that I always thought was bad. And then eventually I had to just like give up on that narrative when she kept winning events. So I put her at the bottom of A tier.
I have her at the tippy top of B tier. And I put in a lot of time with Nu. She was the hero that I was had my 90% win rate into Talishar randoms. But then I started playing a lot into Earth heroes. And I think they're going to be a part of the meta. I haven't talked with them yet, but we'll get into them here shortly, I'm sure. But Nu's ability, I think, is actually a huge liability into the Earth heroes because they can just block with their Earth cards on your stealth attacks, and then you give them free Earth cards and banish, and it feels so bad. It's one of the worst feelings in the world where people were like, oh, I've never turned on my hero ability this easily. It's like turn three. I'm making like a million rune chants all of a sudden because I'm Florian, or like now, oh man, I'm Aurora and I'm just gaining life, and here's a million arcane damage on like turn five. And it's like,
you mean Verdance?
Verdance, yeah, sorry. It feels so bad. And like, what can you do? Not attack with your stealth cards? No. They have like the Earth defense reaction card that's pretty good against you. So they block really well. They have embodiments of Earth. Like, like the Earth heroes just feel so cursed for new, and that single-handedly made me knock her down from like top of A to S tier. And I still think her Enigma matchup's pretty cursed, and I have Enigma pretty high, and I think Enigma will see a decent amount of representation. I need to test the Mechanologist versus new matchup more. I guess if like she's really good into Dio, she could be worth looking at again. I am just concerned that that's not the case, I guess, but it's something that I should definitely look into, because if she does have a really good Dio matchup, and the Assassins did just get the new Arcane Barrier Spell Void equipment, which I think actually helped a lot into Kano, because you have a lot of blues, so you get to kind of naturally play like AB 2 or 3, and then you still have that Spell Void flitting around for when he's trying to pop off. So like you can kind of pretty well box him in, and you're still, your clock's not amazing, but between your disruption and your reasonable amounts of damage, you're playing a lot of blues, you have this AB 3 Spell Void combination. I don't think the Kano matchup is that bad, but that is also another matchup that I need to test more. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, cool. That's it for my A tier.
Yeah, so we just talked about my first and second heroes in B tier. I have Nue and Viscerai, so who's next on your B tier list?
Top of my B is Azalea, then there's Aurora, and then my next hero is the first Guardian. Victor, high and mighty. The way you're shifting your eyes back and forth, I feel like you
don't. For audio listeners, for audio only listeners, my eyes are as big as pancakes, and my eyes are darting around like you're a crazy person. Go on.
Yeah. So against a lot of decks that have not big attacks, Victor's clash cards are turned on. They make his gold. Draw cards. Visit the Gold Main Estate is still a very, very powerful card in Victor, where you get to draw a card off the gold token. I think that he hasn't lost anything from the bans, and like lowering the ceiling of a lot of turns means that his kind of like, I want to block and hit you with big things that are like forcing you to block and are a little bit disruptive, hit that kind of game plan, did get better because of these bans. And I think that I'm not confident that he will do well, but he was able to do pretty reasonably for or after heavy hitters came out, and I think he will be quite good into Aurora. I think he's fine into Dio, and I think that he is fine into Viscerai and pretty good into Riptide. And that was enough that I think that puts him. Oh, and I think he's good into Azalea as well. So I put him there in kind of the middle of B tier.
You ever draw a hand of like Trounce, Crippling Crush, what's the gold block one called again?
Block one?
No, the block card that gives a gold. Test of Strength. You ever draw like multiple block cards in the same hand? It feels horrendous. Like I tested Victor like for a while leading up to U.S. Nationals because you were not the only new doubter for quite a long time. In fact, friend of the show, Tarek Patel, was upset with me for playing new at U.S. Nationals because he would have rather I played Victor. So I spent a week testing Victor. And it was the most frustrating experiences I have ever had in Flesh and Blood playing that deck for a week. And I put it down and picked back up new and never looked back. Just because, like, block cards feel great when you do the thing and you win your thing, you win the clash and you draw your card and you're doing the thing. Feels real good. And then you try, then you have one left over on an awkward hand and you're like, oh, I can't arsenal this. Or you have all the momentum in the world and it's like, oh, here's a bunch of block cards. I have no more momentum. Here'd go. And like, it's just very, very, very clunky. And I don't know that as long as the block cards are a core fundamental part of his game plan, that he could ever be above like C tier in my eyes.
Yeah, that's interesting because I feel like I would say, even though he does face those awkward things, I've found that Nue faces very similar awkward things, and Nue's been doing really well where you can draw like attack without go again and codex and like some random blue and venomous bite or something. And then you're just like, what does his hand do?
Oh yeah, for sure. 100%. I don't disagree with that, but new still has the outs of like, if you're playing Mist Blades, then you could give your blue go again, hopefully clear your arsenal, you know, once your blue has go again, then you can cast Venomous Bite on it, play your codex, and you're good to go. Like, she still has outs on her bad hands. Like, I don't disagree. Like, but sometimes you do just draw like Venomous Bite, codex, defense reaction, and you just have do nothing horrible hands too. But I feel like the rate of those happen much less overall. And ultimately, the attack reactions are at least something proactive, whereas the block cards are not defense reactive, but they're defensively oriented cards. So you can't use them for offensive output.
Yeah, I do think that Victor does have a couple outs to drawing those kind of hands. Like if your opponent attacks you, that kind of bails you out immediately. And then you can also prioritize arsenaling in Lightning Strike if you think your opponent might block with a lot of cards this turn or take a setup turn. Like if you're attacking with Spinal Crush, I will take 3 damage to make sure I can arsenal and Lightning Strike when I'm doing that, just in case that kind of thing happens.
That's fair.
So,
but you're not going to be playing Count Your Blessings, Victor? That's not your game plan?
No, I think the other Guardians are much better suited for Count Your Blessing because Victor's so heavily reliant on the clash mechanic and they don't have an attack value, so they're really bad to clash with.
That's fair. That is true.
Speaking of other Guardians, my next... No Guardian for a while.
Yeah, I don't have a Guardian until we hit D tier, if we hit there. To be fair, Victor's top of D tier for me. So there you go. I do have him as the highest rated Guardian as well, all the way at the tippity top of D tier.
My next Guardian's higher than your Victor. So
my next hero in B tier is Florian.
Okay, talk to me about Florian.
He gets to play a lot of good Earth cards. A lot of the Earth cards that just came out are pretty good. Plow Under and So Tomorrow, right?
No, it's Felling of the Crown.
Felling of the Crown. So Tomorrow is the stupid blue thing, right?
It comes in all 3 colors, but the blue is
the only one. You only play the blue one. Yeah. And he kind of has, we're kind of talking about it like with Dash here, where Dash has the bimodal plan of sometimes it's like a super fatigue-y go long deck, and sometimes it's this beat down aggro deck. And Florian has that going on too, where like once you sit across a Florian, you don't really know what their exact game plan is going to be. And I found that makes sideboarding and having a consistent game plan against him actually really difficult, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to plan to go for like 20 millionth cycle, and he's going to have a million blues, and he's going to try to build up this like 30 Runechant game plan with Germinate at the end of the game, and I'm going to have to kill him. And then sometimes he's just punching me in the face over and over and over again with these big chunky Earth cards, and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm dying. Like, this game's going to end in like 5 turns. Oops. So it just was a hero that I kind of disrespected a little too much. But I think just like his game plan being really hard to pin down is why I have him as high as I do.
Yeah, I didn't put Florian. My Florian's in like the middle of C tier. But I was really struggling to find a build of Florian I was really happy with. I tried a few different things with him when he was spoiled, because I'm like, oh, this is kind of a cool like Runebladey Guardian kind of mixed thing. But if you build them with lots of go again, then it's hard to have like the earth cards that you want. And if you build them with the earth card, or if you build them with the earth go again cards, like Earth or Surge and stuff, then you just have too many two blocks and you just kind of die. And I think the thing that really was causing me issues is like, you take some time to set up before you can even cast your first Felling of the Crown for value. You need to have decomposed at least once. Once you do that, then a lot of the time you cast Felling of the Crown, you get your sick value, you play your 3 for 8 that gets rid of a card from them. And then your opponent tucks a card, blocks 2 cards, arsenal something and passes back. And then you're like, how do I spend this hand? Unless you have Earth or Surge and stuff. You can go the other direction. I've tried both of the channels, Channel Mount Heroic and Channel Millennium Tree. And I think it is hard to consistently get value out of the tree. Enough value, like even getting 6 value consistently out of it's pretty hard. You have Grasp, which enables it once, but then it can be really awkward to fit a Grasp in if your opponent leaves you with multiple cards, because you want to just like use grass plus Reaping Blade. But if you have like a 3 for 7 and 2 blues because your opponent just did something small and you didn't get a block with your extra cards, it can be really tough to spend those cards meaningfully. And you're a lot of the time you're spending a whole blue to make a Rune Chant, which is getting 4 value with the tree. But then between the 2 blues and the tree, you're getting 7 points of value, which is a pretty bad rate and sad. So I think there is potentially something there. And it wouldn't surprise me if Florian's like the hero that I'm most wrong on. He does have a pretty strong card pool, and his hero ability is also very strong once it's turned on.
Yeah, you talked about grass, but yeah, like being able to pitch a blue in the end games and just being able to get 2 arcane, 3 physical over and over again off of every single blue in an end game is really good.
Yeah, and I think Florian is probably good into a lot of these heroes that are B and C tier, but I'm just looking at the top of my tier list. I'm like Dio, KO, Dash IE, Kano, Viscerai. They're all just going to kill you.
Yeah, that is true. Like I said, the gulf between S and even A tier, I feel like, is pretty wide at this point. So, yeah. Okay, who's next in B?
So after Victor, I had Enigma, and then after that, I have Uzuri.
Go on.
So, Uzuri, when Dash IO was going crushing the calling, like 14-0, wins the quarterfinals, wins the semifinals. Who took her down? Uzuri. I think Uzuri also just won a Pro Tour, which is a big deal. And I think Uzuri is probably better positioned than new to pick on this Dash IO deck. I think getting access to swapping your Command and Conquers, your weakest links in to really disrupt Dio is really impactful. I think Uzuri is the best, the weakest link deck, probably. And that is a card that Dio does not want to see played against her. She has 12 plus no blocks, depending on how many items you're playing. I think it should probably be more than 12, but at least 12. And that's a nightmare for her. Uzuri can also threaten the fatigue angle, which is something that Dio is vulnerable to. If you pressure her and then get to a point where you can pivot to fatigue, I think Uzuri is quite good at doing that. And from my experience, the Uzuri KO matchup is also pretty reasonable for Uzuri as well. And I think she sucks into Kano. I think she's probably pretty bad into Viscerai. I think she's bad into Riptide. But having a good matchup into both Dio and KO was enough for me to put her in the middle of B tier.
Yeah, I have her in the middle of C tier just because I think arcane damage is a huge issue for her. And she's still not going to be running a lot of blues, I don't think. Once again, though, I guess for this credit for new getting access to the AB spell void, Uzuri does get access to that as well for what it's worth, but still not a lot of blues to be pitching to your Arcane Barrier.
Yeah, Uzuri usually has like maybe like 1/5 the amount of blues as new. So
yeah, like you're playing like 12 maybe in the deck, right? Something like that.
Maybe.
It's usually like, you're still playing the Persuasive Prognosis. You're usually playing blue. What's the dominate one?
Isolate.
Blue Isolate. And then usually blue Shreds. So that's 9. And then it depends. I think sometimes they still play
Surgical is good.
Yeah, Surgical and Bonds of Agony, I think, is still played sometimes as well. So
sure. Okay, you can get to 15 if you really want to.
Yeah.
I believe Shoma's list was not playing Isolates or Shreds, but I could be mistaken.
Okay, yeah, I'd have to go back and look at his list again. But yeah, maybe I'm too low on Uzuri, and maybe it's something I should be looking into more. I do like the Assassin game plan, and maybe there's something like if you go up to like 15, 18 blues, maybe you can go back to like Pummel Uzuri again or something like that. I like some Pummels. I'm in the back of my mind, I'm kind of interested in just being like a really good Pummel deck, so we'll see. But yeah, I could be open to being wrong on Uzuri. Next up on my list, though, is Vincette, which I think is the biggest jump any hero's ever made on my tier list. I think I had her like 2nd from the bottom, maybe the actual bottom of the last tier list. And here she is chilling, pretty close to middle of B tier.
Yeah, I'm still not a Vincent believer, but go ahead.
So all of the new Runechant generators in the new set, like you said, Malefic Incantation and cards like that really go a long way in her ability to consistently rune gate. And she did get the other new expansion slot card. I forget what it's called, but it's the 1/4, the 1 cost rune gate card that creates the eloquence token. And so I think she still has a lot of powerful disruptive effects, a reasonable clock, and that split damage that can be really hard for heroes to deal with. I still think she has the issues, like much like Viscerai, where she's still pretty soft into Warmonger's Diplomacy. She's pretty soft into decks that are really trying to like hard fatigue her. I feel like that can be an issue for her still. Like, she is actually probably a deck that folds to Count Your Blessings. So if you're a Vincent gamer and you're like, oh man, Count Your Blessings is broken, I could kind of see that one. But yeah, I'd be curious to see how she actually does into Dio, just because like I feel like her disruption might be pretty good there, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't think she actually has that much disruption, right? She has the yellow that blows up arsenals, but what other disruption cards does she
have? Blue that takes a card from hand.
That's the one that costs 4.
Okay. But I mean, like, that's not that that used to be like making 4 rune chants, but now it's like, oh, 4 rune chants, that's fine.
Yeah, you have an incantation in play that triggers and makes 1, then that start your turn, you banish the thing, then you play like a dirge, and then you go to 4, and you can do it.
So, yeah, for sure.
4 is not too
bad. And then you're usually playing the gloves that make 2 rune chants as opposed to I'm forgetting all the card names at the moment. Yeah. Grasp of the Arcanite.
I played 1 game of Inset since the new cards came out, and I really like Incantation. I was like, this is the reason to play Vincent now. Incantation is going to make her a lot more consistent. I attacked my opponent with some stuff. They blocked out. I drew a hand of 4 cards. None of my cards had Blood Dead on them, and then I didn't want to play Vincent ever again.
Yeah, that's fair. And you get some bounding demigods in there, dog.
Yep. You could do that.
Okay. Any other heroes in B tier for you?
I got one actually. More. I actually have 2 more.
Oh, go ahead.
You said no more or 4 more?
1 more after this. So you go, and then I'll go, and then you can round out B tier. Right.
I got Kasai next. Kasai is a hero that is quite good against heroes that only want to block with attack actions. Dio can only block with basically attack actions. She has Spark of Genius and High Octane that are non-attack actions that she can block with, but she doesn't want to block with those. Those are some of her best cards. KO, a hero that I also think is very good right now, only wants to block with attack actions. And traditionally, Kasai, in my opinion, has been reasonably favored into KO, and she got this new card that you are very familiar with from your Bolton days that costs 0 and gives your next sword attack +3, and if it has more than double its base power, it gets go again, which at 0 cost, this is like a sharpened steel that it gives giving go again to one of her sabers. It is a way that you can pitch a yellow to swing both sabers with this card, and it's also just like huge upgrade to sharpened steel. Just sharpened steel that also is a going enabler, and it also means that there's going to be turns that Kasai can more reasonably go attack with a sword, Blade Runner attack, or then you play this attack with the other sword and then follow it up with a Command and Conquer or Nourishing Emptiness, which is something that she struggled to do a lot because Blade Runner specifically needs you to attack with a sword again to get the +3 value out of this. This card gives it to you up front, so following or ending your chain with an attack action is going to be reasonable more often because of this card. I think that the banning of Kashin is a slight nerf to Kasai. I think there were some times where you would play Kashin in some matchups you'd want it. I don't think you're supposed to play it in every matchup, but it did come up. But yeah, I think that Kasai is probably the best warrior, especially when there's a lot of heroes that want to be blocking with attack actions.
Yeah, I have her down in the middle of C tier just because I think the Kashin ban did actually hurt her quite a bit. Actually, I have her as the third, so the last place in Warriors, because there's only 3.
Hey, there's a Warrior in my F tier.
The kind of grindy matchups that she really was thriving in back during Heavy Hitters matchup haven't been seen since Part the Mistveil came out, and I still, and while the meta is going to slow down, I still don't think with Dio hanging around, getting the car she's getting, we're still going to be going into long, grindy third cycle, you know, mid-rangey decks. I feel like she's still just going to sit down across from like Dio, Kano, Dashio, KO, and just kind of get blown up still. Just because like when she was like good into KO, that was before his dual deck or armory deck was out as well. So he got some pretty critical upgrades that help a lot in that matchup. So I don't know. I just don't think that style of like Valiant Dynamo Warriors is really viable given the speed of the format, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think Kasai is the warrior that is best positioned against the aggressive decks because she can often block with three cards, sacrifice a gold and use her hero power again to refresh the gold and attack with a sword, play a go again from arsenal, attack with a sword, then just arsenal the card that she drew from the gold. And that's a very good turn cycle where you're spending basically one card to deal seven damage and reset your dynamos, assuming your go again enabler is a +3, like Red Blade Runner or the new card. So I really do think Kasai is quite good, especially against these aggressive decks that don't want to block, as long as they aren't going so far above what she's able to block in a turn. And she is also a deck that is really, really happy to play That All You Got. And Dio is a deck that really doesn't want to see That All You Got because her pistol comes in for two almost every turn.
Okay. Fair enough.
Who's your last B tier?
Zen. Don't count him out, baby. He's still good. He's still got the ability to tutor his old deck. I still think the kitty cat package could be real. Tiger Swipe, still a very powerful card. I still think he's going to be able to put up pretty consistent numbers. And Mystic cards, they're good cards. Mystic Talent, they're good cards. The Traverse the Universe headpiece, I still think he's an amazing Traverse deck, and that headpiece is pretty close to broken. So as long as that card's sticking around, I don't think Zen can be actually that bad, but maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah. I feel like ninjas have never really suffered from like a lack of good headpieces. It was nice that he got Traverse, and it is better than Mask of the Pouncing Lynx, but I don't think it's so far better that now that he has lost both Art of War and Bonds of Ancestry, I think that makes him pretty bad. I actually put him in F tier, which is probably lower than it should be, but I don't know why you would play a aggressive deck that does not block very well and wants to cast Warmongers over. If that's what you want, I don't know why you'd play him over Aurora.
That's fair. Maybe I just have a meta memory, you know? There's price memory, this is meta memory. I just am too hesitant to put him down lower.
Yeah, makes sense. My last hero in B tier is Levaya. We keep putting her up there. She taught me the Pro Tour, you know? She got a new card in Call to the Grave. I am suspicious that
She lost Art of War.
I am suspicious that it makes her a lot better, but I think it does help. It does help fill the graveyard. Art of War going away is rough, but it was, in my opinion, Art of War wasn't, like, it's nowhere near the power of her best cards, which are Shadow Realm Horror and Blood Rush Bellows. And it is finally nice that I can take the Slitherpedes out of my Levaya deck because I hated that card. And the only reason you had to play it was because Art of War was so good with them.
Okay. I have her in C tier, but almost at the bottom of C tier, second to last here in C tier.
All right. You want to do C tier and then call it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Top of C tier, I got Riptide.
Poor Riptide.
He's fine. He's doing Riptide things. He's got some traps.
Right. Top of my C tier, I got Max, the Hype Nitro. So, this is a hero.
Your takes are wild, dude. This is the hottest takes I think I've ever heard from you. This is... What are you doing? Dude, why?
This guy's been better than everyone gives him credit for so long. He gets the new hat, which is actually huge, getting a two-block Mechanologist hat that he can fuse into the Mechanoid. The Supercell thing he got a while ago was good, but he just wasn't right for the metagame, I believe. But I think he is pretty good into KO. I think he is solid into Dash. I think that he is good into Kano because he is a Runeblade, or not a Runeblade, a Mechanologist, and the Mechanologist kind of beat up Kano. And that's enough for me. And he's also getting another new card with the dash deck, the red 0/3 with boost, that if you've cranked this turn gets +1, and when you banish it by boosting, you get to put a counter on something. He was already playing like much worse versions of this card and pretty happy about it, so this is a pretty big upgrade for him. And all that to say, I think this is where he belongs. If Teclo Plasma Pistol remains legal, if Teclo Plasma Pistol gets Living Legended over the next couple of weeks, sorry, Max, you're going back to the bottom of D or somewhere in F. But as long as Plasma Pistol is legal, I think he actually belongs here, top C tier.
Okay. I have him below Victor in D tier.
Fair. This guy's good.
My next hero breaks my heart that I have him down this low. I wanted to put him higher. I want him to be good, Michael. I wanted Unsheath Bolton. Unsheath Savers Bolton to work. It doesn't work nearly as well as I was hoping it would work. Just too much clunk, like, still left over in the deck. I think the Armory deck that he got helped a lot for Raiden builds, but I still don't think helped very much for Saber builds overall. I might go back to the Bolton well some more before Worlds, but I am not optimistic that he has what it takes to compete in the world that's happening in Flesh and Blood right now.
Yeah, I don't think Bolton's very good. I put him in C tier just because I think you would be very disappointed in me if I didn't, but I actually think he probably belongs in D tier. I think that he is... I don't think he's very good in Dio. I think that he's been not great in Nikeo. He's been fine in Nikeo, but
Scaling Raiden's fine.
Yeah, sure. But Scaling Flashback causes a lot of problems for Sabers, and Raiden, if the KO build is built to no block and race, I feel like can usually compete with Bolin and just rely on its armor to cover up the few important on hits. I think he is not great into Kano because all of Kano's cards say non-attack action on them. And sure. I just think the other warriors are doing what Bolin wants to do, but better. I think Kasai is better at playing 1-2 card hands, and Dorinthia actually forces your opponents to block, which these aggro decks that are high up on the tier list don't want to be doing.
So I think when you were talking about Kasai, who said she was like the deck that's best into like the aggro decks, or like, I still think Bolton's better into the aggro decks than Kasai, just because they're so attack based. So once they do start getting forced to block in end games, Bolton punishes that super heavily. Like Kasai still does too, because she's still playing Centauri Sabers. But the fact that like a aggressive Raiden list, like maybe that's really what I need to be focusing more on, is like an aggressive Raiden list, just because Unsheathed, I think, made the least amount of sense there. So it was the builds that I focused on the least. I focused a lot on Sabers and in like a hybrid package, but maybe like I played the dedicated Raiden build into PTLA, but then hilariously I got thrashed by Viscerai in round 2, so that's probably not a good omen for that deck either. So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, traditionally Bolin has not been great at the Viscerai test when we have ran that matchup.
Yeah, true.
True. I do think that I'm mostly thinking about Sabers when I'm saying Bolin's the worst of these three warriors. I don't have nearly as much experience with Raiden, and I could see Raiden being okay.
Okay. What's next?
I've got Verdant's next.
Hey, me too. Look at that. Cool.
I haven't put a lot of time into her. She doesn't really, like, my biggest issue with her, and the reason that I think she is not actually like good and just in C tier, is she doesn't have a good weapon still. You can play Surging Aethertide and try to do this combo thing with Rampant Growth, where you Rampant Growth, you Surge Aethertide, and then you do a spell, but then you're just playing like, I don't know, kind of a mopey combo wizard, and
feel like, why are you playing Kano?
Yeah. She can kind of like threaten to fatigue people. She can play the Count Your Blessing stuff, but we've both talked about it. We don't think it's very good. And if it is good, then she's fine. But I don't think you can survive against Dio. I don't think you can survive against KO. I don't think you can survive against Kano. I don't think you can survive against Viscerai. And I don't think you can ever beat an Enigma to save your life. So C tier for me.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick, as an aside, this would take 10 seconds. Do you want to do a Living Legend tier list right now? I got one hero in S tier and everybody else in F tier. I got Verdant in S tier. Who you got?
Verdant. Kraken's Aether Rain. Kraken's Aether Rain.
Kraken's Aether Rain in S tier? Okay, cool. Yeah, all right. Cool. All right. Good tier list. Good breakdown of the Living Legend format right now.
Amping, Kraken's Aether Rain, very good. Verdant is the best at amping Kraken's Aether Rain between Channel the Millennium Tree and her Rampant Growth card. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Next in C tier, I got Dorinthea.
Same.
Oh, wow. Look at that. We're starting to pick up the piece. So, Dorinthea's fine. You said the fact that these heroes don't really want to block Dawnblade yet checks out. The problem is that she still has no good blue cards.
She got another good red, though.
She's got her 50th, 60th good red card in her deck. That's great. But, like, I go and build Dorinthea, and I'm like, okay, I got Glint the Quicksilver.
Yep.
I'm out. That's it.
I think the plant's pretty good. The make a vigor and a quicken token.
Sure. It's
pretty good for setting up big five card hands.
Yeah, but it blocks too. So it's like fine.
Yep, agreed.
Where's my Dorinthea list? Let me see. Maybe I'm forgetting a blue. Maybe I'm being too harsh. I called it Boop.
Olympia has a good blue.
Yeah, he does.
Up the ante is very good.
We got blue out for blood in here. We got blue hit and run. We got emboldened blade. We got blue.
All right, Dorinthea has no good blues. Same as always. Moving on. I got Bolton next.
Okay, that's fine. We talked about Bolton. He's a guy that you can play in Class Constructed.
Yep. Then I got Florian.
Then I have Kasai.
Okay. All right, you ready for my next one?
Then I got Uzuri, and then I got Levaya, and then I got one hero left in C tier, and then I'm out.
I got two. I got my second Guardian. I got Betsy Skin in the game. So, I think Betsy is actually better than Bravo now. You can build a fatigue deck with her and her new specialization, the 4/8. You wager it. It doesn't have to crush to get the on-hit effect. Your opponent can't just throw the fridge in front of it. They have to give you a card. They will get a draw card, which they can do that once and their fridge is gone. And the next time you do it, it'll be good. And yeah, I think she is just a better version of Bravo because her disruption doesn't cost 7. It costs 4.
Okay.
Also, Anathos plus Count Your Blessings. Mark my words. You can play a fatigue deck and your fatigue package fits into your aggro package now. As long as the life gain from Count Your Blessings actually matters.
Okay.
Last hero in the NC tier for me is Fi. I think that Fi is the best ninja because he was not reliant on Bonds of Ancestry to do anything. And the other two ninjas suck now because they don't have Bonds of Ancestry.
Yeah, I have Fi third in D tier. I have Fi and Katsu cuddling next to each other in D tier.
I probably put him too high. Art of War ban hit him hard.
Yeah. I have Prism at the bottom of C tier. I still think Harold's in Figments are good. Sure, she lost Tome for like kind of like fixing her like go long fatigue matchups, I guess, but I still think she seems pretty reasonable into Dio and KO or Kano potentially because of the Herald package being a fast clock. They don't want to block a lot, so you're just getting lots of Herald in your soul pretty quickly. I guess. And Dio also blocks a little bit worse than Dash IE and doesn't typically run as many poppers, right? Just because you're running items, so you don't have as many like 6 power boosty cards floating around, right?
Yeah, I think, well, the only real playable 6 power boosty card is Red Throttle because the other one is just Big Bertha that just costs one more resource than
Throttle
than anything else. But I think that most Dio decks should be on 3 max velocities, 3 Red Throttles. Okay. Which is a good number of poppers still. They don't pop the triumphs, but they do. Well, the max pop the triumphs.
Yeah. But if Dio's popping you're with max V, I think you're pretty happy about it.
I mean, it's still not great for you. You're still just getting two for one and losing your action point. And then she still gets to keep her 4 cards to kill you with or 3 cards to kill you with.
Sure.
Yeah. I put Prism at the bottom of D tier, which is almost certainly too low. I think you have her in the right spot. I think I was too hard on her. But I think she is never beating KO, never beating Dio, and that's not a good spot to be.
No. But Heralds, good cards. Still get go again. Still get to attack with Heralds, put cards in your soul, make some angels. Seems fine.
Yeah, and she's fine. She's pretty good in the Kano as well, which is very relevant in this meta. So I think bottom of C tier is probably about right.
For sure. Okay. That's I think that's all that's worth talking about.
Yep. I don't think Acilio is good. So
I have Acilio as the last hero in the game.
Really?
Well, there's technically a secret hero below him. The hidden fourth warrior. I have Olympia as the worst hero in the game. It goes Olympia, Acilio, Bravo, Betsy, Teclo, Arachne, Reinar, Katsu, Fi, Max, Victor, all the way up from F to D.
All right. Mine is Olympia, Katsu, Zen, Arachne, Reinar, Prism, who's way too low, Bravo, Teclo, Acilio, that's it.
Okay.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
That's been a tier list. I'm sure. Sure has. I'm glad we were so confident about this and all of our opinions are so well fleshed out, and that this is going to be looked back upon as just the greatest tier list anyone's ever put together, Michael. I have confidence.
This is the first tier list, I think, ever where my first talented hero is the bottom of A tier. They've done it.
Yeah, I guess they made talents fair. Okay. Well, any final thoughts before we do the sign off then?
I guess I should have waited for you to ask me that before I said this is the first tier list where my first talented hero is at the bottom of A tier. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, the next time you're making the objectively correct tier list that I know you are capable of making, always remember, mind your manners. Thanks for watching.